Welcome to another message from the heart. Life-changing messages from the heart of Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Wumbai. And now, here's Pastor Brown with another message from the heart.
I've been sharing on mind viruses, and I want to start a message on, you can see what virus it is up there. Ouch, this one's going to hurt. Viruses, we've been looking at are mind viruses. They're small programs or little mind infections that our society implants into our subconscious that can start to control our thoughts, our actions, our feelings. Most of these are incredibly subtle, but they're profoundly powerful in controlling our thoughts and feelings, and their effects vary from just influencing us and changing the way we think and feel right through to utterly ruining our life. And there are people around whose lives have been utterly ruined by some of the viruses that we've talked about. So today I'm preaching to myself, because of all the viruses that I'm going to talk about, this one really hurts me. Does it hurt you? Anybody here stressed? Just this week, I've suffered terribly at the hands of this virus and had a really, really stressful week. And I could actually feel it changing my thought patterns and the way I was reacting to things. And it was almost like I was powerless to stop it. It was interesting. A few of the guys went out to watch a movie called Dunkirk Thursday night. And I was talking to Fraser, and Fraser said, "How's your week been?" I said, "I've had a really stressful week, really, really stressful." And he said, "Well, let's see how that stacks up against the stressful week these guys have on the beaches of Dunkirk." I said, "Okay, yeah, fair enough. I probably lose that. Wasn't that stressful in comparison?" But it seems like it at the time, doesn't it? If you're under stress, if something's coming, it's like overwhelming. It's like no one else in the world has ever gone through what you're going through. It's so big. Anybody? Am I the only one that feels that way? A few of you. So let me tell you about this stress paradox, because stress has always been a part of life. Did you know that? Back from biblical days, stress has been a part of life. It's nothing new. Our ancestors stressed about things like crops and, you know, getting money and food and stuff like that. Our parents stressed about things like ledgers and timetables. My mum used to work a ledger machine. What's that? Does anybody know what a ledger machine is? Does anybody under 50 know what a ledger machine is? No idea. It was like a primitive calculator, I think. Is that right? So she used to work one of those things. They used to stress about timetables just like we do. But what's changed now in the 21st century, I believe, is that the level of stress has been ramped up. Can you feel it? Can anybody here feel it? Modern man is infected by this virus, and this virus is out of control around the globe. And guess what? Here's a weird thing. This is the paradox. The more you have, the more you stress. Isn't that weird? You think if you had more, you'd just relax and enjoy more. But you don't. You stress more when you have more. I remember being in the Philippines, and those guys over there, we're trying to bring a few of them out in the next couple of months to be with us here. They've got nothing. I mean, they've got cars that wouldn't make it onto the road here, held together by sticky tape and araldite. And you know, they've got sort of, you know, food, and that's about it. But they are so happy. It blows me away. And here we are with everything that we've got, and we're so miserable because we're so stressed out, aren't we? The more you have, the more you stress. So what does stress stand for? S is for shocking moments in life. You know, when those things come against you, you go, "Oh my goodness," and you stress. T is for traumatic events that occur in your life. R is for repetitious pressure that is ramped up. E is for errors that you might make errors and they cause stress. S is for strain from struggling to succeed and striving to get somewhere. And S is also for sales. That relates to money and money and financial pressures. You see, gone are the days of years gone by when we used to walk by babbling brooks, planting crops and hours of fishing and thinking deep thoughts and being at peace. Does anybody here do that regularly? Probably not. Instead, enter the fast-paced urban world of mortgages, rent, job pressures, family conflicts, schedules, appointments, and ATMs. Add to that the kids going every which way, a few screaming matches, too little sleep, too much TV, fear of cancer, materialism, alcoholism, drugs and paranoia, then subtract family support and close friendships, then divide it all by dozens of opinions on Facebook, multiply it by 365 days a year, and the result is stress. You see, the thing is, these days stress is the rule, it's not the exception. Isn't it? Luke 21 verse 34 says this, "But watch yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of life. And that day will come upon you suddenly like a trap." How many of you here this morning sitting in church are weighed down by the cares of life? The stress that is involved in living in the 21st century. Now, according to Rev magazine, in an article published in 2003, the top four stresses are money stresses, 49%. Family responsibilities, 22%. Work deadlines and pressures, 22%. Commuting to and from school or work, 7%. Who gets stressed about commuting to and from school or work? Anybody? Have you seen the line up at that roundabout during school time? It's ridiculous. We live in a place where a traffic jam is five cars in a row. Yet every school day, at school time, we've got like 50,000 cars lined way back past the big pineapple. And it stresses parents out. It stresses all of us out. We have a little picture up in our upper room up here. Beautiful, peaceful scene with underneath Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I'm God." And I look at that, and sometimes I look at it, I just go, I can't. Does anybody struggle to do this? Man, I just get so stressed out. So, the thing is, we're being caught by something called cortisol. Who knows what cortisol is? A few of you? Doctors tell us that when we undergo stress, our adrenal cortex produces a powerful hormone called cortisol, which hypes us up and slows down many bodily functions deemed unnecessary for the fight-flight response. Have you ever had a fright and your whole body's running? Has that ever happened to you? You ever had somebody come up and go, boo? And you got scared? I was telling Victoria, Fiona and I used to lead a youth group, and we had this one activity that I loved. And it was like a kind of a chase round the district. You had to write things down at different areas. And we finished in the local graveyard. And right down among the gravestones, they had to write down somebody's birth date or death date or something like that. So under the weeping willows, at night, we're down in the grave, you know. So my group came through, and I've got girls clawing my arm off, terrified. And I said to them, "Hey, you guys just wait up at the corner there, because I could see the lights of my friend coming in." And I thought, this is awesome. So I hid behind the weeping willow tree, and he's down there with a torch, shining his light on all the graves with the kids around him. See if he can find this grave. And I'm behind the weeping willow tree, right in front of him. I thought, this is awesome. So I stepped out and went, and nothing happened. They're just looking at this. I thought, this is awesome. And so I just simply said, "Don't be scared." And they went, "Ah!" Kids just screamed and jumped, collapsed, heart attacks. You know, it was so great. One of my favorite memories of youth group days. But if that's ever happened to you, your body just runs with hormones, you see. But that's set up for short term. The problem we face is that elevated levels of the hormone, which God designed to be short acting, occur when chronic stress happens. So what it means is chronically elevated levels of cortisol are in your body, giving rise to things like elevated blood pressure, obesity, tiredness, heart attacks, diabetes, cancer, and a whole host of horrible conditions. It decreases your memory, decreases your concentration, and it was never designed to be a long-term effect. The stress virus uses this to control our lives subtly in a way that we not only accept it without question, but we expect it in our lives. It becomes part of acceptable 21st century living. Now, Romans 12 verse 2 says this, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, This is a pattern that is imprinted on 21st century living, isn't it? Stress. But we give in to that pattern and we just go with it. We're not transformed by the renewing of our mind. We just go with the flow and get smashed up by these hormones and by stress like anyone else. And even in the church, we pile stress upon stress. Many churches emphasize programs over people. And in this church, I've tried not to do that. You are important as a person. You've got to have some programs, but you are the important thing in the church. The church is the body of believers built together. But as you will probably know, those of you who know me, I am sort of a full-time pastor, sort of a full-time optometrist as well. I'm a family man, a traveling evangelist. I'm also an avid internet marketer and a bunch of other stuff. And I am more guilty than most of piling so much stress upon me that I can barely stand up at times. Anybody here like that? I'm the only one. Oh, no, there's a few. That's encouraging. So, what are the symptoms of the stress virus? Then we'll look at the treatment. The symptoms are this. How can you tell if the stress virus is affecting you? You probably don't even need me to answer that. You should recognize, before I go on to that, that stress is not a bad thing. You might think, oh, all stress is bad. It's not. Stress is a good thing. It actually brings the best out in us. Do you function better under stress? I do. Like if I've got deadlines and stuff like that, if I don't have a deadline, if I aim at nothing, I'll hit it every time. No trouble. But if I have a deadline, it puts stress on me, but it's a good stress. It causes us to reach higher, achieve more, become more. Study, for example. Who here has studied at university? It's stressful, isn't it? We talked about this the other day, Naomi. Studying is stressful, but the end result is good. You would hope it's good anyway. So stress is not always a bad thing, but it needs to be a short-term thing. In little short bursts, it becomes destructive whenever it is never-ending and it starts to cause things like increased illness, overeating or drinking, abnormal sleep patterns, loss of interest in normal activities, fogginess in thinking, disorganization, I'll move right on there, increased impatience and irritability. You ever met someone who's stressed out? They're a little bit irritable. Have you noticed that? Relationship conflicts and reduced performance. So the problem is not that we cannot feel stress because we feel stress much of the time. It's that we consciously accept what this virus is dishing us as normal. And we do nothing to relieve the pressure. Sustained stress is not, and I repeat this, is not normal. You were not designed to be under intense stress continuously. You need to have a break from it. Even if you're an adrenaline junkie like me, I love stress. It's like a drug in a sense, I guess. I just love it. I can achieve lots, you know. But I've got to take the warning because too much will come along very quickly. I've discovered when I took on the church as well as my job, that I can deal with the stress for a time. I can pile all this stuff on me for a time, but then after a while, my body breaks down. Is anybody here like that? My body actually breaks down, and many of you have come to me concerned that I am overstressed, and I appreciate that. Stress kills slowly but surely if not handled right. Most biblical writers underwent stress, but none more than Paul. Paul felt it long term because he carried the burdens of churches across Asia and the threat against his own life. But listen to what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He wrote this, verse 16. Now, this is a great verse if you're under stress. Listen to this. So we do not lose heart. Everybody say lose heart. Because if you get really stressed, you start to lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary or transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. So in the stress of life, we need to not lose heart and we need to handle our stress correctly. Yes? All of you are nodding at me here. I don't think there's a person in this room that isn't undergoing some sort of stress, some more than others, but it's there for most of us. Now, I can't stress this enough, pun, you know, but this is God's treatment for stress, okay? This is a treatment for the chronic infection that the stress virus pushes upon us all. Let me say from the outset, removing all stress is an impossibility, isn't it? You can't get rid of this stuff. We need to handle it properly. In our time-driven, results-driven culture, removing yourself from society and becoming a monk is not really an option. Anybody here want to be a monk? A nun? No. You can lock yourself away, but you're still going to feel it, folks. We are called to be in the world but not of it. So how can we possibly be surrounded by such an incredible and often overwhelming stress level and remain unaffected? Well, the first thing is to consider God's perspective. That verse we looked at before. Things that are temporal, things that are eternal. I remember going to an Australian rules match. Anybody here an Aussie rules fan? Look at that. Two of you. Great. Anybody here a rugby league fan? There you go. Anyway, someone conned me into going to this Australian rules game. And they said, we're going to sit right behind the goal, right at ground level, so we can be on TV. Okay. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching this game at ground level. And I don't have a clue what's going on. Not a clue. It looked like a bunch of guys crawling around the ground trying to find a contact lens. Have you seen an Australian, like they're just crawling around the ground all the time, and every now and then they run to another spot and they'd all crawl around there. I didn't get it until at halftime I walked up into the stands and I realised when you look down, you can see what's going on. He's kicking to him and he's, you know, it suddenly made sense. I didn't like it as much as rugby league, but it still made a little more sense. It's all about perspective. When you're at ground, you know, when you're at ground level, you can't tell. And we, in day-to-day life, folks, we are at ground level. We can't tell what's going on in the big picture. But God has the perspective of looking across everything and understanding everything. All the pressure, all the stresses, he understands it all, and it makes a lot more sense to him. So one of the best antidotes to stress is seeing God's purposes in the difficulties that he allows into our life. As Victoria just shared, some of the difficulties she faced was like God spoke to her through those. He may use certain situations to develop the fruit of the Spirit in us. Who wants the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah. Who wants the pain getting there? Nobody, yeah. Knowing that God uses every situation, even the petty, irritating situations in life, even the stressful ones, to teach us to become more like Jesus helps us to feel less stressed by things because we can't control them, but he can control them. Does that make sense? So as 2 Corinthians 4 says, we concentrate on the eternal, not the temporal. Now, we all face stress and we all see, and when we face it, all we see is that stress. You know, when you're just stressed out about everything and it only takes a little pinprick and bam, you're super stressed again. Has anybody here experienced that? We usually cannot see the reasons why, and we certainly don't see the big picture, but God understands everything. He's the creator of the universe. He's the sustainer of life. He created you, and he loves you, and he wants the best for you. Do you believe that? Question. From God's perspective, can he possibly use the stress in your life for good? How do you know? He's done it in the past. And we have Romans 8:28, which says, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Is that in most things? It's in all things, even the bad things. So, how can God and how will God use stress in a positive way in our life? First of all, stress gets our attention. C.S. Lewis said, pain is God's megaphone. And I can attest this is often the case. Pain is not a bad thing. It's bad when it controls us, but it's not a bad thing. If you put your hand in a fire, how does it feel? Hot. And you feel pain, and it tells you to take your hand out of the fire. One of the difficulties with lepers is they lose sensitivity in their fingers, and they just knock them off, literally. You know, they jam them, you can't feel anything. Not having pain is a terrible condition. We were designed to have pain. It shows us It protects us from some of those situations. And in the same way, God can use pain and stress to slow you down or to move you away from a dangerous situation. Psalm 147 verse 3 says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So you have pain, you have wounds, but His heart is to bind them up. But you still have the pain. Does that make sense? He can still use that pain. The second way is that stress refocuses our priorities. Everyone has priorities, but they're not always God's priorities. How many of you know that? My priorities are not necessarily God's priorities. Even when we realign with His priorities, it doesn't take long before we lose them and get back to our own priorities. And in my world, I don't know about your world, but the urgent seems to supersede the important. Is that true? We have all this urgent, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to, and that the stress of that makes us lose focus on what's really important. Haggai 1:7 says, Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And stress can make us stop living the life of stress, stop just dealing with the urgent and focus on what's really important instead of falling victim to the tyranny of the urgent. Another thing is that stress can turn us back to God. Call it human nature, but when things are going well, we tend to just float along and we don't turn to God. When things go bad, people turn to God, don't they? Now, some people turn away and that's terrible, but many of us who love Him turn to Him, but mainly when we are desperate. There used to be a saying going around saying, if all else fails, try prayer. Why? Why would you try prayer when all else is? Why not start with that? You know, we don't want to turn to God when everything else has failed and we're at, you know, turn to Him at the start and you'll find that many of these stresses don't even develop. 2 Chronicles 15 verse 4 says this, But when in their distress they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought Him, He was found by them. So many times the children of Israel did their own thing, finished up in a pickle, being attacked by enemies, being subjugated, being persecuted. And then they cried out to God and they turned to Him and He came to them. So stress can be used by God to turn us back to Him. And sadly, many turn away in their stress, anxiousness and panic. So today you face a choice. We're all under stress, but you face a choice. Are you going to turn towards the Lord or are you going to turn away from Him? What's it going to be today? He loves you. He cares for you. His arms are going to be outstretched today. He loves you. He wants you to turn to Him. The next thing is stress disciplines us. Hebrews 12 verse 5 says this, My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord or be weary when reproved by Him. For the Lord disciplines the one He loves and chastises every son whom He receives. Who likes discipline? Not me. Not me. But often the Lord will use stress to discipline us. If you find stress is piling up around you, stop and ask God what you need to learn from this. Learn the lesson of the stress you're under. Learn that lesson well, because if you learn it well, you can come through that stress and be closer to the Lord. But if you don't learn it, the punishment is you get to sit the exam again. And again, and again, until you get it right. So my advice is learn the lesson early on. The next one is that stress creates strength and stamina. Now, I bought a workout DVD one time and it didn't work. I watched it 10 times and didn't feel a bit fitter by the time I was finished watching it 10 times. What's the problem? You can't just watch the DVD and expect to get fitter. You have to physically do something. And when those of you here who are, is anybody here fit, like goes to gyms and stuff? A few? Your dad used to own a gym, Naomi. Yeah. People in gyms will tell you, you have to build up, you have to have resistance to build the muscles. You have to have stress to build the muscles. If you want to train your body and build strength and stamina, that's great. But you've got to place some sort of stress under it. And that's how we train our bodies. But in 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, it says this, Rather train yourself for godliness. While bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So Paul's saying, yes, train your body, but train your spirit more. It's more important. If you want to become great for God, expect some stress and see it through. Remember, quitters never win and winners never quit. So that's the first point in God's remedy for stress, for chronic stress, is to have his perspective on it, to consider God's perspective. If you trust him, he can mold you into the image of his son, which is where we're at. So seeing things God's way gives meaning to your stress. But what are the other steps in trying to overcome this 21st century lifestyle of stress that we live? The second thing is to give it up to Jesus. When it comes to stressing, when all these things come against you, you need to learn to let go and let God. Does this speak to anyone here this morning? It sure does. I'm speaking to myself. We tend to pile up all our anxieties and stresses and try and deal with them, and we get more anxious and more stressed about them until we start to collapse. If you're like me, you've got you want to solve the world's problems. Is anybody here like, guys are like that. Guys always want to solve the problem. Girls just want you to listen. Guys want to solve the problem. There is a beautiful DVD, little short clip that Fiona and I love. We often use when we're doing marriage sessions. It's called The Nail. And this girl's saying, I've got this achy feeling in my head. And she's got a nail driven into her head. And the guy says, well, you've got a nail in your head. She said, don't try and solve the problem. I just feel like, you know, and it's really fun. Because the guy said, if you just pull that thing, no. Just, I want you to understand how I feel about this. And he's going, oh, are you kidding me? And it's so true. Women feel, guys solve. And when you're a solver, like most of us guys, we tend to be under enormous stress. So we take the weight of the world on our shoulders. Bill Newman shares a story. I'm off with him in a couple of weeks to Sri Lanka, if you can remember to pray for us. But Bill Newman shares a story about a time in an American town where some mothers got together to have coffee and the kids were outside playing and it was strangely quiet. And the mothers are looking at one another going, okay, how many of you mums know that when it's quiet, something is happening out there? And you just know that. So they went out and they found these kids had found a nest of baby skunks. Now, I know you think skunks smell, and they do, but they don't smell. They like, wow. On a scale of 1 to 10 of bad smells, they're like a 28, 50. And what happens is they spray this smelly stuff and you can't get rid of it. My friend Joe from Trout Creek is a volunteer fireman. Their fire truck hit a skunk. The guy drove back and parked it in the firehouse. They said, get it out of here. A month. It had to stay outside a month before they could have it back in the place. It just hit a skunk. So these things are like, wow, you know. And here's these kids playing with these baby skunks. Well, the mum says she's terrified. What? This is a disaster. She said, quick, children, run. So they all picked up a skunk and ran. And skunks don't like to be squeezed. But how many of us are like that? We bring our problems and our difficulties to the Lord, then we pick them up and run with them, don't we? Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says this, do not be anxious about anything. Everybody say anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. There's the cure for stress right there. Give it over to him. Release it to him. Give that stressful situation to the Lord and stand back. Do not pick it up. If you have stress in your life, you need to give it to him and let go. The third thing is to take breaks. If you undergo a sustained amount of stress, taking regular breaks is a key. Now, later this week coming, I hope to have a couple of days off with Fiona, if she can get her finger together there. Well, we're seeing the surgeon on Monday to see, yeah. So assuming that she's able-bodied, we'll take a few days off. We probably need to do this more, folks, given the stress that we are under. But so do you. You need to take breaks. I found this great verse in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Everybody concentrates in Mark 6, Jesus sending out the 72. Remember that? He sent them out two by two. Remember that? Look at this verse. Just after they arrived back, it says this in verse 31. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So the disciples came back from their ministry, and they got swamped by more ministry. And Jesus didn't say, drop everything and help these people. He said, come apart and rest for a while, because he knew they needed to recharge their batteries. See, Jesus rested to relieve his stress. When I rest, how many of you here like rest? Anybody? A few? When I rest, I sit around worrying and stressing about what I should be doing that's more productive with my time than resting. And I've got to learn to switch that off. That's 21st century. That's that virus right in my head. I'm sitting there doing nothing, maybe reading a book, maybe just having a coffee with Fiona, and something in my mind is saying, hey, you could be using this time more productively. We've got to get that out of our heads, because we need rest. We need to come apart and take some time to rest, or we just fall apart. It's our choice. Number four is to surround yourself with good friends. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. You go like the character you keep. Birds of a feather flock together. So if you are stressed, don't surround yourself with stressed out negative people. Please. Choose people who talk to you wisely, and gather positive, uplifting, godly people around you like you have in church here. I've done this, and I can tell you that with some of the friends that I've made in church, some of the people who stand with me and support me and care for me, it makes an incredible difference. I could get amongst people who are negative, and it will just feed your negativity. You know this, don't you? And some people are just negative. I mean, some people, you know, they're just a joy to be around, and other people are just like, they're so negative. Some people bless others wherever they go. Other people bless others whenever they go. Don't be the second one. Be the first one, okay? Number five, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The Hebrew word for keeping your heart with vigilance means to guard, to watch over, and to blockade. You know what a blockade is? Where the ships come around and they stop anything getting through. That's what it means to guard your heart. Stress has a way of orientating us towards all the things in life that are wrong. All the negative stuff, we automatically go there. We need to guard our hearts and minds against negativity and pessimism. There are times when we will not understand God or his ways, for his ways are higher than ours. But he gives us enough information about his character that we can, even though we don't understand the problems we face or the stress we're under, we can rest in his faithfulness and godliness. See, that's the thing. If you focus on the stresses around your life, that's all you see. God is saying, focus on me, because we can trust him. We don't have to trust him with the individual situation. We can trust him. Period. We can trust him because of his character, not because of what he might do for us. In the midst of our stress and pain, he delights in us when we trust him, especially when we don't understand. We guard our hearts during stressful times by thinking, checking our thinking, and taking captive every thought. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, we destroy arguments and every thought that is raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. So when you think something negative, you've got to go, hang on, got it, and take it captive. If you let that thing run, it will tear your brain apart with stress. You need to, when you say something stressful or negative, take it captive. It's very helpful to have someone around you to point that out. I have a wife. She's very good at pointing out if I get too negative. And every now and then she gets negative and I can point that out to her. So it's helpful to have someone to do that. And the worst times we ever face is when we both happen to get negative at the same time. And then we both say, well, hang on, that's not going to work. One of us has got to be positive. And I say, better be you. guard your heart in times of stress by taking every negative thought captive and not tolerating even a single one. Number six is to cultivate a thankful heart. The greatest sin of the Western world is an ungrateful spirit. We live in a society that is basically ungrateful for the many blessings we share, don't we? Let's be honest, Aussies. We're Aussies. We're proud of it. But sometimes we're a pack of whingers, aren't we? Even with all the things we've got, have a look at it. Australians whine and moan about everything. When we're given money to not work, we're given free medical, subsidised housing, we have the right to free speech, we have glorious weather, the list goes on. I mean, how's this for winter, folks? We're driving in, I'm saying to Victoria, suffering for Jesus here on the Sunshine Coast. It is winter's day out there, wall-to-wall sunshine. 24, 26 degrees. I mean, Victoria's probably going to go home to, you know, by the time November comes around, it'll be snow somewhere, won't it? November, December? Yeah. Who wants to live in sub-zero conditions? Polar bears and no one else. They all want to live here. We need to learn to have gratitude. Even when we're under stress, we've so much to be thankful for. James 1, verse 2 to 4. I think Pastor Keith mentioned this before. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various kinds of trial, because you know that the testing of your faith develops steadfastness. Steadfastness will have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Hey, when you're under stress, say, yippee! Brilliant! I'm developing the fruit of the Spirit. I'm developing character. I'm developing hope. I'm developing all those things. If you're under stress, even extreme stress, be thankful. If not for the pain, be thankful for the small mercies you've got in your life. Have you got a car? Have you got a phone? A universal communication device? You can talk to people on the other side of the world, straight from your hand. Have you got a roof over your head? Have you got food? If not, come to lunch. There'll be food. Have you got relationships that matter? Have you got a church that loves and supports you? If you don't, come and knit in here, because this is a supportive, loving church. Let's be thankful in all things, not stressing about what we haven't got. Remember, I said right at the beginning, the more you have, the more you stress. It's crazy, isn't it? Number seven is to prioritize. Sometimes we get stressed out when the stress virus digs into our subconscious because we are majoring on the minor things. And at the end of our life, many of us will look back on our life and realize that we spent most of our time on what matters least and the least amount of time on what was really important. Worry and stress about so many things, what we should do, what we should eat, where we should go, all of that stuff. You never look back on that. If you've spent some time with people in nursing homes, they don't sit around on their deathbed saying, gosh, I wish I'd worked harder. They don't. What they do is they look back on all the lost opportunities for what was really important. Jesus tells us that in Matthew 6. He says, don't worry about what you'll eat, what you'll wear. Don't worry about that. He says this in verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things are given to you as well. Don't worry about it. Seek him and you get the lot. If you seek the face of the Lord, you get his hand as well. That's the message. So decide today what's really important in your life. Choose your priorities and live for them. See, life is full of choices. When we become more intentional about the way we spend our time and energy, we learn to say no to things that are not just not that important. And in eternity, only three things matter. Did you know that? There's only three eternal things. God, his word, and the souls of men and women. That's what matters. Cars will go. Houses will go. Unbelievably, computers will go. I cast that out in Jesus' name. No, I'm only kidding. All of that stuff is temporary. Even church denominations will go. Can you believe that? I'm a Baptist. I'm ACC. I'm Uniting Church. Don't worry about the tags. If you go up, they drop off. If you go down, they burn off. Don't worry. You won't need them. Number 8 is recognize and remember our limits. Psalm 139 verse 2 says this, "You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together." Often our lives become so filled with stress because we refuse to accept human limits. We are not God. Is anybody here God? God is God. We are just people. And we are not all-knowing. We are not able to assume total control of every situation we face. We are human beings. We need to sleep. We need to eat. We need to relax. Yet at times we live our lives in a way that ignores these realities, which can result in a host of stress-related ailments. And I'm preaching to myself here. Fiona's just sitting here going, "That's you. That's you." When we're feeling overwhelmed, perhaps that is a reminder that we are not living within the limits that God sets for us and the boundaries that He's created for us. It may be time to evaluate and cut some things out of your life. Maybe even say no or even slow down. I preach to myself here because recently, over the last couple of months, because I'm working, you know, full-time working and full-time ministering, I've cut out a consulting job that I was doing and a business meeting I've gone to Wednesday mornings, every morning, every Wednesday morning for the last 10 years, I finished up this week. Why? Is it because I don't like it? No. Is it because it's not profitable? No. It's because I can't find the time to do it without breaking down my body, my existence. I just can't fit it all in. And everything you cut out, they say, "Hey, we're only a small bit. Why don't you cut something else out?" No. You've got to cut something out if you're truly under stress without killing yourself. But the final step of dealing with chronic stress is coming up in a minute, and it's the most important one. And it's the only way that I have been able to withstand the stress that is on my life, and I'm sure it will work for you. Remember, stress can affect the body, mind, and spirit. We must pay attention to each area to reduce the effects of stress on our overall well-being. If we do not learn to control stress, the stress virus will eventually control you. So to protect our bodies, we need to get adequate rest, exercise regularly, eat well, and learn to breathe deeply. Did you know that? If you breathe, when you get under stress, you breathe shallow. You even hold your breath and you stare. Did you know that? I know this from my studies of kids. Do you know kids, when they're playing computer games, hold their breath and stare? Have you seen them? That's what it's like. And so you've got to learn to breathe deeply and sustain your body. To protect our minds, we need to think truthfully and refuse to make mountains out of molehills. How many of you make mountains out of molehills? Just a few? We need to set priorities to keep our mind. And finally, to protect our spirits, we need to meditate on God and His Word and learn to trust God and pray without ceasing. So we need to come each day to the Lord. If you're overwhelmed with stress this morning, and many of us are, myself included, you are carrying a burden you should not be. You can't speak about stress without mentioning Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. I'm going to read it for you now. Listen to this. If you're under stress, if you're really struggling with stress and are stressed out like me, this is a verse for you. Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, some of you here are carrying stresses and burdens that you shouldn't be. You're like an ox dragging a load that's too heavy with an ill-fitting yoke that rubs and pulls and causes pain. Many people long for rest. They long for relief from the constant stress that the stress virus inflicts upon them. This morning, Jesus' words are calling out to you, saying, "Give me your impossible burdens and I will carry them for you." Jesus says that He will take from our shoulders the heavy burdens that are burning us out. The stress that we face in life that this virus tells us we just have to handle. No, you don't have to handle it. You have to hand it over, not handle it. Hand it over. And He will replace it with an easy yoke, a light burden. Submission to Christ does not place us in bondage to a harsh taskmaster, but under a loving and caring and gentle, lowly Savior. You see, Jesus is in touch with the stress and burdens of life that we carry and understands how much they hurt, how much they exhaust us. When we give our troubled hearts to him, he gives us rest for our souls, the kind of rest that will cure stress burnout, the kind of rest that will renew our minds and renew our enthusiasm for him, the kind of rest that can face any stress in life, knowing that he will bear it for us and we need not bear it alone. Some of you here need to start handing these burdens over to the Master right now. And the only way to do this is to spend time with him. Not once a month, not every Sunday coming to church. Spend time with him every day, multiple times a day. I want to encourage you this week to open your Bible and start reading it. We have a reading plan at the back. It's free. If you're a visitor, it will come in your welcome pack. We want you to read the Word of God. Just start reading. It covers the whole Bible in 1 year with only 2 chapters a day. It's not a huge burden. But I tell you, if you read those 2 chapters a day, day after day after day, it may seem a little dry for a while, but at some point, the Holy Spirit's going to quicken that to your heart and it'll change your life. How many of you here who've done the Bible reading plans have felt it's changed your life in the last year? Many of you. Because God speaks through his Word. You can release your burdens consciously over to him. This morning, I'm going to ask you to release those burdens to him. It's going to be a deliberate daily process. You can't do it once and you're done. You've got to keep handing these stresses over to him. But for goodness sake, hand it to him this morning. Don't take it up and walk out of here with it. Would you do that for me? Hand him the stress that you're under, what you're feeling, the pain you're feeling. Give it to him and walk away. This morning, I urge you to answer the Father's call.
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Coast Church, Wumbai, on the beautiful Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more messages from the heart, transcripts, and other material, visit www.coastchurch.com.au or subscribe on podbean.com. See you next week on Messages from the Heart.